Govinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Young man, Mr. Hall said to Brahmananda, we are helping you to get the house. It is a beautiful house, a New York City landmark. Then Mr. Hall's girlfriend called from a boat in the Caribbean. He talked to her for a while and then returned to Brahmananda and Mr. Price, who sat in the shadows at his conference table. Mr. Hall had a big contract he wanted Brahmananda to sign. Brahmananda knew that Swamiji wanted a contract, and here it was. He also knew that if he signed over the 5,000, he would have no other money and no extra income. And he knew they knew it. But Swamiji wanted the building. Swamiji himself had looked at $100,000 buildings and had offered to buy them, even though he had very little money to back his offers up. And Brahmananda always did whatever Swamiji said. To sign this contract, Brahmananda concluded, was an act of faith in Swamiji and Krishna. He didn't analytically ask, where will the rest of the money come from? To do so, he thought, would be like doubting Swamiji. So here he was in the big-time financier's office. It was awesome. The millionaires were going to help. Mr. Price was at Brahmananda's elbow. Mr. Hall was telling Brahmananda that everything was all right. We are going to get you this house. Now it is actually going to happen. Here was one of the biggest men in Manhattan offering to help. And whereas Brahmananda had no money, Mr. Hall would be able to pick up the place very easily from the owner. Glancing quickly over the contract, Brahmananda signed. It was a deal, and he gave them the check for $5,000. As soon as Brahmananda and Mr. Price left Mr. Hall's office, there was a distinct change in Mr. Price. Although still acting as Brahmananda's friend, he said now, gee, you know, now you have to get this money. As they walked together on the uptown streets, Mr. Price cheerfully pushed the whole thing onto Brahmananda. That was the change. Before, Mr. Price had been saying that he and Mr. Hall were going to do it. But now he said that it was all up to the devotees. Brahmananda asked about the legal position. Mr. Price explained that only the Krishna Society was bound. But what about the promises? What about Mr. Hall's being so rich and wanting to help them? And Mr. Price wanting to help? Mr. Price assured Brahmananda that he and Mr. Hall did want to help. They were doing everything they could, but Brahmananda and the other devotees should also do everything they could and come up with the $20,000 to complete the down payment by the end of the month. And what if they couldn't? Mr. Price made it clear. If you don't pay the balance in a month, then you lose your deposit. By the time Brahmananda reached 26 Second Avenue, he realized he had been cheated. He was crushed, right? Because Prabhupada told him not to deal with Mr. Hall and Price, but to deal directly with Mr. Tyler, the owner, because these guys are middlemen, right? Because they're saying, okay, you just put this down, you're serious, we'll get the building for you, and then you just pay us back, because we're the financiers. But now they know that they only have $5,000. They don't have any more money. So then you say that, okay, you have the $5,000 according to the contract. If you don't give the other $20,000 by the end of the month, then you lose your $5,000. So in other words, they're just trying to get that $5,000 out of them. Right? That makes sense. So now Brahmananda's understood, because before he was saying, you don't worry, we'll do everything like that, so that he gives the money. But once that's happened, now he's saying, Now you guys have to come up with the money. He turned to the other devotees and told them what had happened, but they could only return, why did you do it? Brahmananda phoned Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco. Now that his eyes had been open about Mr. Price, Brahmananda was blunt about his mistake, and he told Prabhupada that he had given away the 5,000. All of it is gone? Srila Prabhupada asked. Yeah, Brahmananda replied. He heard Prabhupada hang up the phone. Brahmananda had been about to explain the whole thing, but Swami just hung up without a word. Brahmananda placed the receiver back on the hook. He was shaken. The next day, the trustees held a special meeting. The boys sat around in the front room of Prabhupada's apartment, trying to decide what to do. Gargamuni again called Prabhupada, who advised them to stop the check at the bank. Swamiji, as smart as a fox, Rai Rama smiled. Gargamuni phoned the bank, but it was too late. The check had already been cashed. They consulted Mr. Goldsmith, their friendly lawyer. He said it sounded like a weak legal case. Price and Hall hadn't legally bound themselves to paying anything if the devotees failed to pay. And if the devotees couldn't pay the 20,000 by the end of the month, they would lose their 5,000 deposit. They could sue for fraud, but court fees would be costly. Then, one by one, Brahmananda, Satsrup, Kirtanananda, Rai Rama, Gargamuni, and the others began to look at the letters from Prabhupada and discuss how he had warned them to avoid being cheated. The greatest blunder, they began to realize, was disobeying the instructions. He had told them not to trust the promises of these businessmen, and he had told them that the check should be made only to the owner, not to the financier. Within a few days, further instructions from their spiritual master came in the mail. They were admonishments, but hearing from him, even if he was chastising them, was better than the pain of his hanging up the phone without a word. "But you have not followed my instructions, and now you are in trouble," he wrote to the boys. He wrote Rai Rama, "You are all foolish boys. I repeatedly warned you, even at the last point, that we should not pay the check unless there was agreement between Mr. Tyler and Mr. Hall. The agreement was signed like a marriage ceremony without the presence of the bridegroom. The mistake was there, and now you are repenting." To Satsarup, he wrote, "You have asked me whether the San Francisco branch will pay some money for purchasing the house, but where is your house and where is the purchase? So far, it is talks of Mr. Price and company in which you innocent boys have been entrapped. I do not know how I can help you in your greater blunder. I can only hope that Krishna will help you." Unlike the boys and their lawyers, Prabhupada thought that the legal case against the businessmen would be a strong one. "I am not a lawyer, but this is common sense affair. Mr. Hall has taken the money, and he must finance to purchase the house. If he has no money to finance, then it is a cheating case, clear and simple. The culprits," he said, "should be brought to criminal court. Their conspiracy and fraud are obvious and should be proven." From the telephonic conversation of Brahmananda, it appears to be an organized cheating case, and you have to face with courage without excusing any one of them. We are not revengeful, but we cannot lose Krishna's money for nothing, right? In other words, they're going to go against this, but not because it's out of vengeance. It's a matter of it's Krishna's money. Get Krishna's money back, and then, you know, what do we care about these guys? The boys had already blundered so much that Prabhupada doubted whether they could tackle the cheaters. But he said they had to try. "Let us have the house or return back the money. In default, there is clear case of cheating. Now you can do as you like." Prabhupada wrote the boys' lawyer, relating the history of the case. He also wrote a letter to the financier, the owner, and Mr. Price, threatening to expose everything, including what he alone had seen. That the lawyers involved were also implicated. Brahmananda could barely understand what was going on, but it appeared that Swamiji was going to get results. The boys were fools, certainly, but the businessmen were certainly cheaters, and Swamiji claimed he could prove it in court. While admonishing his blundering disciples and going fiercely after the cheaters, Srila Prabhupada still remained the ultimate shelter for his foolish boys. In a letter to the 6 trustees of his New York branch, he shed transcendental light into their gloomy minds. Forget the chapter. take it for granted that Krishna has taken away this money from you for your deliberate foolishness. In future, be cautious and abide by the orders of Krishna. If you abide by the orders of Krishna, he can give you things that you may need. Be cheerful and chant Hare Krishna without any lamentation. As I have told you several times, that my Guru Maharaj used to say that this world is not a fit place for a gentleman. His version is corroborated by the following verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said like, Yasya asti bhagavati akinchana bhakti sarvai gunas tatra samasate sura harau abhaktasya kuto mahat guna maho ratena asato dhavato bhai no bahi. A person who is not in Krishna consciousness has no good qualifications. However, so-called gentleman, one may be academically educated. However, so-called gentleman, one may be, or academically educated, he may be, is hovering over the mental plane, and therefore he must commit nuisance, being influenced by the material energy. So no matter supposedly how cultured or how educated someone is, if that mood is not devotional, then they will create a nuisance. You understand? So it's not enough to be cultured. It's not enough to be educated. You have to be devotional, right? Because if you're not devotional, you will create problem for others. It's just the way it is. So if someone's not creating a problem for others, then you know it's more devotional. If they're creating more problem, it means less devotion. A person who has, however, has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the good qualifications of the demigods. In other words, you should not keep your trust on so-called gentlemen of the world, however nicely dressed he may be. In the matter of discharging our mission of Krishna consciousness, we have to meet so many so-called gentlemen, but we must be very cautious for dealing with them, as we are cautious in dealing with serpents. Right? So, Prabhupada's point is that don't lament, because that keeps you in the past. It's a matter of what are you going to do at present, right? Does that make sense? You have a pot of sabji, you drop it on the floor. Will lamenting about it correct the situation? No, you have to just bend over, pick up the pot, clean up the sabji, and then it's done. So lamentation is not the thing to do. It doesn't mean that one doesn't learn, right? In other words, you contemplate, so you learn, okay, what went wrong, how to correct that. But one doesn't lament, otherwise that's the mode of ignorance. You have to do something right now. That's the mode of goodness. Yeah? Let me think. Yes? Yes? Hmm? Yes. You sure? Not? No. What about maybe? Kind of. Okay. More safe answer, right? Very good. Now more than ever, the boys in New York, see, because here is Prabhupada's chastising them, right? But the point is because there's that surrender, then they understand the shelter is there, right? That's the point. If there's no shelter, one thinks, oh, why is Swamiji yelling and screaming at us? You know, he's not here. We had to do it all. You know, he doesn't know what's going on. We just have to, he says he trusts us. Now he's yelling at us. You understand? This is what comes up in the mind where there's not the proper understanding, right? So good instruction is given. The good instruction's not followed. So then there's chastisement. Why would there be chastisement, right? Now, let us say, because one will think, oh no, but if you're being nice, if you love the person, you don't chastise. But actually, it's the other way around. If you love them, you chastise. If you don't love them, why would you bother? Why would you waste your time chastising someone? You know what I'm saying? You're walking down the street, you know, here, and there's some outside guests that are there, and their kid's doing some nonsense. Do you bother saying anything? No, why? Because you don't care. So if someone's doing something wrong and you say something, it means you care. Right? Otherwise, why keep them around? So in this way, the materialistic people, right, make a mistake. And they think because they're being chastised. But we see here is that Prabhupada, right from the beginning, would do this. They do something wrong, they get chastised. They're just being stupid, you know, they're hippies, they're dancing funny, or this, or that you tolerate. You know what I'm saying? That's not the problem. But here, now they're doing Krishna's work. And if Krishna's work goes nicely, then they're not. You don't need to chastise. But if it's not going nicely, you chastise, then they're supposed to wake up. This is what's supposed to happen. You get chastised, you're supposed to wake up. Get waking up, then you pay attention. And paying attention, you become more conscious and figure out how not to make this mistake. So depending upon how much you can be conscious, then to that degree, you don't have to chastise. But if the person refuses to listen, like we see here, Brahmananda had his own idea, then Prabhupada's going to say something. Right? So this is Prabhupada doing this. So this is how Prabhupada would run a society. It's Krishna's society. It's not a modern society where, oh no, but you let it go, and oh, we'll give this, and you know, give support, and don't you really care, and show that, you know. That's not what this society. You want that, go somewhere else. Like that. It's really, this stuff's really happening good over on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. It's kind of between the Atlantic and Pacific, you know. A little north of the Caribbean, you know, like that. I think a little south of the 49th parallel. You know, it's all happening there. So if that's what you want, unless it's the 47th parallel, I'm not sure, but whatever. You understand? Maybe it's the 46th. Oh, well, whatever. Does this make some sense? So this has to be understood. You can understand this point. You can go back to Godhead. You don't understand this point. There is no chance you'll get back to Godhead. Just no chance. It's just the way it is. You do something wrong, you take responsibility. If it's a matter you do something wrong, and then you spin it so that, oh, I'm the victim, you know, like, why is everybody like that? Then that means you're the center of attention, not Krishna. Very important to understand. You don't understand this, you've missed the whole point of Krishna consciousness. You've missed the whole point of how the material world actually works practically. You know? It's just some people who have no idea of actually how things work. They create all these kind of things and all that. It's just, it's not supported here. Prabhupada is chastising. But he's still the shelter. Why? So this idea, oh, if you chastise, you're not the shelter. And if you shelter, you'll never chastise. No. You know, and these people are still around later. Prabhupada chastised them, and then they become more serious. They become more expert, and they move forward. You know? Not they chastise, no, this, that, no. Does this make sense? Like that? You know, this relates also to what we were talking about yesterday. About, you know, doubting the teacher, finding fault in the teacher, trying to see all these different things. Oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. Why are they doing all these things and stuff? No, if you have a question, you ask. You don't have, then you don't. If you don't ask, you're a cheater. You're a nonsense. You're a rascal. And I'm not joking here. I'm just falling short of calling you like a scumbag, you know, or pond scum. Like that. Because someone who can't respect their teacher, it's actually a waste that they're in human form of life. It's actually a waste. More of a waste that one's in Krishna consciousness, more of a waste that one's in Mayapur. You know what I'm saying? So these kind of things, this is a school. One is here. It's not that one doesn't question. But you have to know who to question. It means you have a doubt. You go to the teacher. Arjuna had a doubt. He went to Krishna. But to have a doubt and then catch a few friends and talk about this and that and so many things, that's just politics, straight up from politics. And politicians don't belong in the Vedic educational system. That's not what it's for. You know? Politicians should go back to wherever they came from. Right? We're serious about this. People who are politicians who don't respect authority like that, love to harass other people and make their life miserable, who vandalize and break Krishna's property like that, these people do not belong within the Vedic educational system. Why? Because there's no semblance of humanness to them. Gurukul is for human beings. Does that make sense? So these things just aren't tolerated. It doesn't mean you're not an individual. It doesn't mean you can't question. It doesn't mean you're like this. No, but it means that there's a framework within which you work. Right? You want to cook sabji. Right? Where do you have to put the pot? On the fire. Can you just put it anywhere? No, but I feel like putting it over. I feel like putting it over here today. Is that going to work? No. What about the sabji? Where do you have to put the sabji? Inside the pot. No, but you know, it looks so nice in the bucket. You know, why can't it just cook in the bucket? You understand? It doesn't work like that. So that's the thing. If these basic, you know, human considerations are there, consideration for one's seniors, consideration for one's equals, and consideration for one's juniors. Just because they're smaller than you doesn't mean you harass them. They're smaller than you, you take care of them. If they're equal to you, you make friendship with them. If they're senior to you, you respect them. That's a human being. But if you criticize, make politics against those who are senior to you, you fight and everything with your equals, and you exploit and harass those who are juniors, that's not human. It's just not human. There's nothing to work with there. Does that make sense? There's nothing to work with. It's like I go into the kitchen and there's this pile of dirt there. And go, what's this? Oh, that's what we have for lunch, dirt. So what's that got to do with, you know, cook? Where's the sabji? Oh, no, but that's the dirt off the outside of the potato when we dug it out of the ground. You know, it's not even potato skins. Potato peels you can cook, you can do something with. So that's nothing. So that's the point. If one can't respect authority, cannot work with equals and be friends, cooperate, and cannot take care of and guide those who are junior, there's nothing to work with. That's the basis. That's not like, wow, that's the ideal. You know, no, that's where we start from. That was makes the Vedic system different from any other system. You start from there. Then from there, you move forward. Then you get people like Arjuna and Yudhishthir and Yayati, all these great personalities. Why? Because they started there. If that's like your goal, then okay, then we just get an ordinary, you know, common person. Yes.
How would you change the mentality of a person from the lower stage to the higher?
How do you change from the lower to the higher? Basically, instruction and association. But there has to be a willingness on their part to take advantage of the instruction and the association. If they're not willing, you know, that's why, like, we have a thing. Someone comes to the school, we try for some time. If they could adjust, nice. If they can't adjust, then it's not the place for them. You know, some other situation will bring that out. You know what I'm saying? Everybody becomes expert at whatever they do by instruction and association. It's just a matter of what instruction, what association works for them. That's all. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you have to find. So this is a very specific, you know, working on, you know, traditional things. that it works like this. You know, and others like to use a different method, you know, because they have a different purpose. So as long as you can take the instructions and take the association, and association means respect for seniors, friendship with equals, and kindness to juniors. That's what we mean in association. And instructions means you take them, you think about them, try to figure out how to apply them. You apply them, it doesn't work, think about it, try again. In other words, you have to be thoughtful. Thoughtful means you take it and you think how to make it work. Right? You have a doubt, you ask. Then you apply it. Not that every time you ask. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You just know that it should be this way. And all that. Does that make sense? So, like that, then it works. Yes? No? What do you think? Yes? Yes? So, what do you think of this, having compassion for juniors and everything? How do you express that when you're dealing with all the junior boys of the school? Why are you laughing? Oh, because he is the junior most in the school? Oh, okay. You see, so I should pick someone a little bit more up the ranks to ask that question. Okay. Yeah. I think he still doesn't know what's going on. You understand what's going on? What's going on? Class, okay. He's here. He has arrived. Okay. Do you understand this? In other words, you're supposed to use your brains. Brains, how to get it done. Just like, let us say, cleaning the veranda. Okay? Now, cleaning the veranda, what is the point of cleaning the veranda? Yeah, it gets clean. Yeah, bring a bucket, sweep, wipe. Wow, there's a person inside there. Very good, very good. It talks. Okay. Yeah, very good. You understand? So is the purpose to get the veranda cleaned in the nicest possible way and also be efficient about it? Or is it simply the efficiency of how you can somehow move from one end of the veranda to the other so that nobody actually points out anything that you didn't do it right? Stumped you there. You know, it's just like, let us say, we go down to the pumps, get 10 rags, right? Then we come along and we put it into the bucket, right? And it's so big we can't wring it out. No question you can ever wring it out. Maybe Bima could wring it out, but we can't wring it out. Then you take it dripping all the way down the veranda. Then you start and you go like this. Then you roll it over like this. So this one rag, you can wipe the whole veranda, right? But of course, the last 10 feet is completely dry. And the beginning, 40 feet is completely soaking wet. So it didn't actually wipe anything up. It just happened to make it wet. So now, would this be what we call efficiently getting done what we're supposed to do? No, but if you ask some people, this is very efficient. Why? What are they trying to do? What?
Finish fast.
So as far as finishing fast, this was very intelligent. You understand? So that means brain is there, right? Maybe wrong kind of brain, but brain is there, okay? Like that. So the idea is that you want to get it done quickly, but you also want to get done actually what you're trying to do, right? Like you're cooking lunch, you could keep the subject on the fire for 5 minutes. That would be fast, right? But then what would happen? Get burnt. Okay. That's what?
It won't get cooked.
It won't get cooked. What you were going to say?
It'll still be gotcha.
Yeah, it'll still be gotcha, right? And you, what were you going to say? Huh?
Burnt.
Same thing as douging. It will be uncooked. Okay. And he says it'll be burnt. So it'll be half burnt, half uncooked. Okay? So now you can say, yeah, I cooked so fast. But it's not done well. Does that make sense? So you have to figure, yes.
Good for cows.
Good for cows. Okay. But then the cows, you could have also not cooked it at all and given to them. They probably would have been happy. Oh, okay. They like that? Okay. Like that. But they like the burnt parts? Okay. You understand? So in other words, you have to figure out how to make it work efficiently. So that means brain is there, but use it in the right way. Use the brain to figure out, okay, this is what we want to get done, and what are we trying to do? We're trying to make it clean. So what's the quickest way we could get it clean? Right? You know, so somebody's sweeping while others are getting the buckets and rags. Right? And then you start, then when they come, then you start wiping. Right? Does that make sense? And then when you finish, somebody puts away the brooms and all that stuff, and somebody puts away the buckets and rags, and it's all done. Rather than, okay, I only did the buckets and rags, now I sit here and wait until the other guys, you know, finish it. No, you work it out. The point is get it all done. You're in the group. So that means brains. You understand? So brain is there. If you can figure out how, within a 5-minute break, to start a game, play a full game and everything before the next class, that takes intelligence. No? Isn't that an intelligent thing? Yes? No? Very smart, right? No? Okay. So, but that means you have brains to do other things. You understand? If brain is there, that means you could use brain in any area. Not just there. It's just a matter of how did you figure it out, right? How is it that in a 10-minute break you get a full, you know, 7.5 minutes of game? How did that happen? By chance? No. What? By brain, yes. Means you had to use your intelligence, figure out what game you could play in this time, in this situation, right? Then you just you have to focus, right? You have to put your full energy into it. You understand? In other words, all good qualities are happening here, but it's just being wrongly applied. You understand? So all the qualities necessary to be able to study properly and do everything properly are there. The difficulty comes is one is just if in this situation, then okay, you're letting off some steam and all that. That's if it's in the break. Now, if this is during class time, then you're wasting your time. You understand? So the intelligence is there. Focus is there. You know, desire for a result. You know, able to cooperate with others to play the game like that. You know, choosing the right game for the right time and everything. All these are good qualities. Right? So now if you can switch that from one thing to another, then it'll work nicely for you. You understand? That's the point. So it's not that it's... So it's a matter of can you switch this? Can you do that? Right? Yes? No? Yes. Maybe?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. More positive this time. Okay. Very good. Does this make sense? Yes? You sure?
Yes.
What did we say? You forgot. I see. Yes?
If you just
Go ahead.
If you try cooking something really fast, it won't get cooked properly.
Right. So what's the problem? Cooking is going on. You're quick. Right? Now, which is better, the person who cooks a sabji in 20 minutes or it takes them 5 hours?
It's better 5 hours.
Better 5 hours improperly. What about 20 minutes improperly? Better. Okay. What about 5 minutes and not properly? Not good. So what's the point of the cooking? Properly and quickly, right? So you try to catch those two, right? So that's the thing. So use bidane. Yes, you have bidane. Yeah, you brought it with you. You didn't leave it at home. No, sure. Okay. Yeah, you have your bidane. Yeah. One thing you do is, at night, we'll wrap it up in a wet gumsha, you know, so it doesn't dry out by the morning. It's very hot these days, you know. Like that. Yeah. Now more than ever, the boys in New York wanted Swamiji to come back. Although most of the talk in the temple was still about real estate, they were holding regular kirtan and lecture programs. And two new boys had joined. Jadarani had finished some new paintings of Lord Vishnu, which now hung in the temple, and she was waiting anxiously for Swamiji to come and see them. Some devotees had made a new speaker's seat in the temple for Swamiji. They knew they were fools, but they asked him to please to come back. He agreed. He set April 9th as the date for his return to New York. But meanwhile, he still had much to do in San Francisco. Do we know what month we're in? No, this is it, but that's April 9th.
We're in March.
I'm talking about the book.
Yeah, they thought it was due.
Here is February 17th. Yeah, so it's probably February or March in here. This month is April, yes. You know the date?
9th.
So Prabhupada said April 9th is the date for his return to New York, so that means he's coming to New York today. Yeah. One day, Malati hurried into Srila Prabhupada's apartment, took a small item out of her shopping bag, and placed it on Prabhupada's desk for his inspection. What is this, Swamiji? Swamiji looked down and beheld a three-inch wooden doll with a flat head, a black smiling face, and big round eyes. The figure had stubby forward jutting arms and a simple green and yellow torso with no visible feet. Srila Prabhupada immediately folded his palms and bowed his head, offering the little figure respects. "You have brought Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe," he said, smiling and bright-eyed. "He is Krishna. Thank you very much." Srila Prabhupada beamed with pleasure, while Malati and others sat amazed at the good fortune of seeing Swamiji so pleased. Prabhupada explained that this was Lord Jagannath, a deity of Krishna worshipped all over India for thousands of years. Jagannath, he said, is worshipped along with two other deities, his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra. Excitedly, Malati confirmed that there were other similar figures at Cost Plus. Cost Plus. The import store where she had found the little Jagannath. And Srila Prabhupada said she should go back and buy them. Malati told her husband, Shamasundar, and together they hurried back and brought the two other dolls in the set. Srila Prabhupada placed the black-faced, smiling Jagannath on the right. In the center, he placed the smallest figure, Subhadra, who had a red smiling mouth and a rectangular black and yellow torso. The third figure, Balaram, was a white, round-headed, red-rimmed eyes and a happy red smile. had a forward jutting arms like Jagannath and a blue and yellow base. Prabhupada placed him next to Subhadra. As Prabhupada looked at them together on his desk, he asked if anyone knew how to carve. Shyamasundar said he was a wood sculptor, and Prabhupada asked him to carve 3-foot-high copies of the little Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. More than 2,000 years ago, Srila Prabhupada told him, there was a king named Indradumna, a devotee of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Indradumna wanted a statue of the Lord as he had appeared when he and his brother and sister had traveled on chariots to the holy field of Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse. When the king requested a famous artist from the heavenly planets, Vishwakarma, to sculpt the forms, Vishwakarma agreed on the condition that no one interrupt his work. The king waited for a long time while Vishwakarma worked behind locked doors. One day, however, the king felt he could wait no longer, and he broke in to see the work in progress. Vishwakarma, true to his word, vanished, leaving behind the uncompleted forms of the three deities. The king was nevertheless so pleased with the wonderful forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra that he decided to worship them as they were. He installed them in a temple and began worshiping them with great opulence. Since that time, Srila Prabhupada continued, Lord Jagannath has been worshipped all over India, especially in the province of Orissa, where there is a great temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri. Each year at Puri, during the gigantic Rath Yatra festival, millions of pilgrims from all over India come to worship Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra, as the deities ride in procession on 3 huge carts. Lord Chaitanya, who spent the last 18 years of his life at Jagannath Puri, used to dance and chant in ecstasy before the deity of Lord Jagannath during the early Rath Yatra festival. Seeing this appearance of Lord Jagannath in San Francisco as the will of Krishna, Prabhupada said they should be careful to receive and worship Lord Jagannath properly. If Shyamasundar could carve the forms, Prabhupada said, he could personally install them in the temple, and the devotees could then begin worshiping the deities. San Francisco, he said, would be renamed New Jagannath Puri. He chanted, Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. This is a mantra for Lord Jagannath, he said. Jagannath means Lord of the Universe. O Lord of the Universe, kindly be visible unto me. It is very auspicious that he has chosen to appear here. Yeah, so then, you know, Malati's just going through the store looking for things in that, because it's import stores. Remember, like Upendra, you go and check out things because maybe there's something that, you know, Swamiji would like. So then, you know, she went through, and then she became attracted by these dolls. Otherwise, why would she wouldn't know what Jagannath is or know that it's what it is, you know, but somehow, you know, they looked interesting. Maybe it said they were from India or something like that. So then she thought, you know, anything India, you know, something Prabhupada may like, you know. Does that make sense? You know. So then she got it, but it said Jagannath would have made the arrangement. You know, she would have got attracted, that she would have, you know, actually got the deity and stuff like that. So it's by Jagannath's grace and they came. So Jagannath, you know, came to the West. So the first deities ended up there in, you know, how you say, in Jagannath Puri in San Francisco. I probably had his deities that he would go move with. But, you know, deities actually in a temple. Shyamasundar bought 3 large blocks of hardwood, and Prabhupada made a sketch and pointed out a number of details. Using the small statues, Shyamasundar calculated ratios and new dimensions and began carving on the balcony of his apartment. Meanwhile, the devotees bought the rest of the tiny Jagannaths from Cost Plus. In other words, there were more of them, so they went and bought them all. And it became a fashion to glue a little Jagannath to a simple necklace and wear him around the neck. Because Jagannath was very liberal and merciful to the most fallen, Srila Prabhupada explained, the devotees would soon be able to worship him in their temple. Right? So they'd have these little things with Jagannath hanging around his neck, so they'd walk around like that. I even think some of them, you know, even made a little like pouch and would stick him in, so he could, you know, you could sit there with his arms sticking out, you know. Like that. I even heard this story: one devotee went to, because they had the draft then, and so anybody who was 18, like 18 or 19, depending upon when he turned, then they would call you for the draft. It means you'd have to go to the army. And so at that time, everyone's trying to get out of that, especially devotees, because then they could do service and all that. You know, so it would be very hard. So then one devotee went to the draft and he had, you know, Jagannath hanging around his neck. And so the guy's asking, what's that? And he said, this is God. You know, so then they just said he's crazy and he didn't have to go to the draft. So, like this. You know, Jagannath saved a few devotees this way. The worship of the forms of Radha and Krishna in the temple required very high, strict standards, which the devotees were not yet able to meet, right? Like being clean and stuff, you know. But Lord Jagannath was so merciful that he could be worshipped in a simple way, mostly by chanting Hare Krishna, even if the devotees weren't very much advanced. Prabhupada set March 26th, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya, as the day for installing the deities. The devotees would have a big feast and begin worshiping Lord Jagannath. Prabhupada said they would have to build an altar, and he told them how to prepare it. While Shyamasundar hurried to finish his carving, a small splinter lodged itself in his hand, and the wound became infected. Finally, Shyamasundar got blood poisoning and became so sick that he had to go to the hospital. Lord Jagannath was taking away the reactions to Shyamasundar's previous sinful activities, Prabhupada said. On March 26th, no, so in other words, he's doing the service. He got something and got sick. So then Krishna's taking away the sinful reactions. One shouldn't think, oh, I'm doing this service for Jagannath. How is he allowing this to happen? You know, doesn't he care? Is he merciful? No, he is. He's taking away all these things that get in our way. Because we think we're the body, therefore these reactions go in that way. Does that make sense? Yes? No? What do you think? Maybe? Are you that body? No. Are you his body? Is he his body? Is he his body? So then who is his body? Huh?
Krishna.
Krishna. So he's Krishna? No, he's not Krishna. But his body is Krishna. How is his body Krishna?
His body's not Krishna.
His body is not Krishna, so you're saying that there's something outside of Krishna in this cosmic creation?
His spirit soul is Krishna.
He's spirit soul.
No, his spirit soul.
Krishna's spiritual, but then where did all this material energy come from? From Krishna. So it is Krishna, but it's an inferior manifestation. Yes? But it's not Krishna person, it's Krishna's energy. Right? Does that make sense? Like there's the man, and then the man has money. So the money, you can say, is non-different from the man because it's his money, it's his potency. But at the same time, it's not him personally. Right? So his body is made out of material energy, which belongs to Krishna. Like that. So it's Krishna's potency. So in that way, it's Krishna. So therefore, since it belongs to Krishna, use it for Krishna. Yes? No? Or would you rather be the body? No. Well, there's another body you'd rather be or something? A little bit bigger maybe, you know, blue, you know, like that. Lives in a tree maybe. No? You rather have a little bit more old fashioned, not so up to date. On March 26th, time's up. So then we'll continue and then we'll see how the installation went and how the installation ceremony went. Okay, it's a long chapter. Jai.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.